So there you go, our dear listeners. You know, stop, you know, listening to us, or just listen, you know, the first part of this episode and just stop listening to us altogether. Just focus on listening to audiobooks. He was like, "Whoa, Michael, it works." And I was like, "Of course it does."
Smooth, man, smooth.
What would you do on the colony of Mars without the internet? Okay, I have a few topics for today, but I wanted to, you know, as per our new system, we'll start with something deep first, and then we go shallower, you know, with every each and every passing minute.
That's great.
We mentioned on our last episodes how we are digging the reading of the books, and I wanted to, after we shared our book counts and everything, I felt motivated to actually alter my behavior and read more books and listen to less podcasts, which is funny because we're actually recording a podcast. So it's like I'm encouraging our listeners not to listen to us anymore. But
I had the same realization that,
yeah,
maybe our download numbers are not growing because people have got so much value out of it that they decided, yeah, that's right, let's stop listening to podcasts and do more books. So
yeah. So there you go, our dear listeners, you know, stop, you know, listening to us, or just listen, you know, the first part of this episode and just stop listening to us altogether. Just focus on listening to audiobooks.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not good at marketing, like promoting.
Not really. We are really fantastic salespeople here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're no good at all.
No. After deep work, I decided to it was a very quick decision to get the latest book, The Third Wave, by the AOL founder and CEO, ex-AOL founder and CEO. The book intrigued me. I mean, apart from the fact that it got lots of, you know, attention on Twitter and it became instant bestseller and whatnot, it intrigued me because the name is The Third Wave. And actually, it's very similar. I mean, actually, it's the same name as Alvin Toffler's book from the 70s or 80s, also called The Third Wave. And I remember when I was in college, my friend, we were supposed to prepare a speech on a book, and my friend asked me if we could do a speech together and if we could do it on Alvin Toffler's book, The Third Wave. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I had no clue what the book was all about. And
I have no clue either what the third wave is referring to. So clue me in.
Okay. I can give you a very, very, very brief summary of this. So Alvin Toffler says that the first wave of civilization was agriculture. We were just, you know, having our crops, you know, attending our crops, getting our own food, this kind of stuff. And we've been doing this for many, many years until, like, you know, 18th century, 19th century. And then we had the second wave, which was the industrialization. So, you know, having factories, having people to go to places to manufacture things, you know.
Cities,
exactly, yeah, cities. So cities became the big thing, not culturally only, but also, you know, because the work was done there. So if you wanted to have a better job than being in agriculture, you would go to the city to work in a fantastic factory as a robot, basically.
Yeah.
And the third wave is the information society. So this is what we have now. Information society means, of course, we have the internet, we have all the information, and suddenly the information is of value, and suddenly you're selling information, you're buying information, and we get to get more information from many different things, and the information is changing our behavior and the world around us. And suddenly, like, the companies like ours, where we don't go to any office, make sense. Like companies like ours, where we are, you know, this humble, small, you know, Polish-based company selling to people from all over the world. We are these two humble podcasters podcasting to people listening to us from all over the world. So this is the information society. So this is the third wave. And like the book is like this thick, but this is like the main, you know, the main theme, right? So
Right.
Three waves. And of course, Alvin Toffler in this book, he's like diving deeper what it means, you know, what this change means for the society at large. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the cities are no longer that important. I mean, they are still important, but, you know, it depends, blah, blah, blah. So this is like the third wave. And what was amazing about the book was that it was written in 1970s, 1980s, when I was born, like more or less at the time. So it was like 10 years before the, 10 plus years before the World Wide Web. So it was really written ahead of time. It was really a futuristic book then. And when you read it now, it still feels a little bit futuristic. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, now you're reading it like a referral of what's happening, actually, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the third wave by Alvin Toffler. And then, so Steve Case, the AOL founder and whatnot, he actually read Alvin Toffler's book and was inspired by it just as I was. But he was he did it earlier than I did. He did it in 1980s, and he was just blown away by the vision of Alvin Toffler. And he wrote a book called, I mean, with exactly the same name, The Third Wave, but he refers to three waves of the internet, right, of the information society. So he's like, you know, he's like doing the third wave of the third wave. So three waves of the third wave.
There are waves inside the waves.
Exactly. So
that's deep.
That's really deep. And it's what I really liked. I mean, I like the concept. I mean, because the concept was like this. So there was the first wave of basically, you know, World Wide Web and the first .com, you know, bang, like really to succeed in the first wave of the internet companies, what you had to do was lot of partnerships, lots of, you know, like jumping hoops and trying to do lots of things to make sure that actually somebody actually, you know, looked at your startup. So for example, like Barnes, like he was talking to saying that American Online wouldn't become American Online if it wasn't for the partnerships that they did, you know, with all the other companies trying to outcompete other companies. And it was the first wave. And then the second wave were the Snapchats. Like the apps, like the you know, Facebooks and all the other companies that grew all by themselves alone. Just, you know, they appeared, they were viral, they had the network effects, and they just, you know, started booming without they didn't need any other support. All they needed was just people referring other people to these, you know, things. So so this is like the second wave. And then the third wave, he says, is, of course, the internet of everything. So not the internet of things, but the internet of everything. So the internet will be everywhere, right? It will connect everything.
So it's the third wave of the third wave, which is still ahead of us, which is still kind of speculative.
Yes, but he says that the learnings from actually the first wave of the third wave, so the learnings from, I know it sounds like this, but
3.1 wave?
Exactly. So the learnings of the 3.1 wave, the idea of partnerships and things is trying to become something more than just a viral, you know, 140 characters. Like, you know, this famous phrase, we wanted flying cars, we got 140 characters, right? So
that's nice.
To succeed in the third wave, you have to be more connected, not only connected with the people, not only connected with things, but also connected with other services, right? APIs and stuff. And I'm not sure I'm buying this. So because you don't know, I mean, you haven't read the book, so I wanted to hear your opinion on this, what you think about it. That's why I gave you the brief version. But like what I recognize on my side is that, like for us, like for example, for our company to succeed, actually, in the beginning, it was viral. Like people started using Nosby because it was Nosby was, you know, somebody wanted to do the GTD thing, and they found Nosby. There were some blog posts about it. We went viral. So that this is how we took off. But later, we took our company on the next level, actually, by doing integrations with others. So like with Evernote, Dropbox, and now we're doing the OneDrive soon.
Right.
So, and for example, Slack right now is very big also on their app store. Like they are also integrating with lots of other services. So
yeah, lots of plugins, public API.
Exactly. So I realized that it's kind of, you know, the story of our life, right? That we took off first without the help of anyone, but really to succeed in the future. And this is what our customers are, you know, talking to us about, that we need to be more integrated with, you know, with what they are using and, you know, have more partnerships and these kind of things. So this is something like, this is the new wave I'm seeing, you know, also on our part. But of course, I'm not sure that if this is the future and this is really the wave, the 3.3 wave. But, you know, it mm-hmm. looks like this.
I don't know. I don't have a particularly strong opinion on this. I haven't read the book. I don't know how persuasive it is. There are a lot of books that have, given their authors' vision of the future. And of course, we don't remember them because we mostly remember, you know, those in the past that have been right and those that have been wrong. Like, we don't remember that. So there's survivorship bias. So, you know, could be right, could be wrong. I don't know. Could be right, but irrelevant. I really don't know. I kind of like the idea in general of having, like, I mean, it's not a new idea. I mean, Unix, okay, the operating system from early 70s, which, you know, so much of today's world is built upon, but no one except for the nerds actually, you know, see the interface of Unix. But Unix was built on top of this idea of having lots of small tools that do one job really well, and that can work together and be, piped together, whatnot. I like this idea of not having this one huge app that tries to do everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, either can be, you know, good, but maybe has to be made by some huge company that can do everything, or maybe tries to do everything but doesn't please anyone. You know, I like this idea of having something that you can hook together with other things and that can work together over standardized protocols, such that you can actually have these, you know, you can pick and choose between things and tools and apps and whatevers that do something useful for you, that work for you, and combine them together. But right now, like, I'm not sure how relevant it is for us right now. I don't know how relevant it is for success. Like, it's appealing as a nerd, but it's also dependent on the tools, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can do things which are quite powerful, but require like some deep backend integration. And then if you're a Slack and everyone already loves Slack, then everyone will make such integrations. But if you're a small company, then maybe nobody will. So you want like simple interfaces for combining tools together. But for that, you'd expect the operating system like iOS or Android to provide those hooks. And there are some hooks which are kind of like that. I mean, kind of. Like, you have, since iOS 8, you have custom share extensions, so you can, you know, pipe data from app to app more easily. But, you know, there's so much that more that could be done, but just isn't allowed by the system. And if it's not, like, built into a system, like a standardized tool like that, then, you know, there are ways you could do it. But in practice, how many users would do that? I don't know. How important would that be? I don't know. And especially for our success, like, you know, like how many people would actually pay for Nosby? I don't know. Like, it's an important idea for sure, but I'm not sure just how important but it's something to think of, especially for the future. And especially when new opportunities come out, then seize them, right? Like, I remember when iOS 8 came out, on week one, we were out with our share extension. And, you know, it wasn't that amazing at the beginning, but, you know, like that's the point. If you have an opportunity like that, that, you know, everyone uses share extension, people get share extensions on iOS, then absolutely, you know, do that.
Just the other day, I was on the conference here in InfoShare in my hometown, and Maciek Mediafan he's a popular blogger, and he's using Nosby, and he came to me and he was like, Michael, I wish Nosby, if I have a note in the note, you know, in the notes on iOS, I would love to just be able to add a hashtag of a project there and just be able to just automatically add it to Nosby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can do it, just use the share extension. Mm-hmm. And he was like, share what? And I showed him, and actually I was, it was like I was very confident it's going to just work very well. I actually...
I'm sorry.
And it did. It worked fantastically. So you have to be proud of yourself. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
I mean, he had an entire note. So I just added, on top of the note, I just added the name of the task and the hashtag of the project. Mm-hmm. And I was confidently demoing him the feature. I wasn't sure it's going to work. And then I said, share extension, add to Nosby. And I saw that in the share extension, you actually selected everything, the whole note. So I was like,
yes,
let's see what happens now. And I'm like, add to Nosby. Then we moved to Nosby. Mm-hmm. And it was there. Like, there was the task. It was actually in the project because of the hash thing. And the contents of the note were actually in the comment section. He was like, whoa, Michael, it works. And I was like, of course it does.
Smooth, man, smooth.
Yeah. I love these things, like, when they actually work. And I'm like, and in my mind, I was like, you know, like praying that it will work, right? But I was so confident, you know, just, you know, of course it works, right? So but we're still like so many years in, still I don't think anyone uses Siri, and we don't have any API for Siri, and we would love to have
Siri's no
API
good.
For Siri. Like we're always saying, you know, this WWDC, they will announce API for Siri, and they never do. So this is so as you said, we don't know. I mean, the book wasn't that convincing. I mean, he was trying to, you know, convince based on his experience being the, you know, AOL guy, and right. I also, this book was kind of a memoir of how AOL came to be and how it just came to, you know, be not anymore. And how it just, you know, crashed with Time Warner. So of course it was that. That's why I'm not sure I would recommend the book, but
thanks.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really, you know, convincing you just like you did, you know, with Deep Work. You know, you have to read this. But
right.
With the third wave, I'm not sure, but the idea of interconnecting things, of putting things together, and how much, as you said, how they would accelerate growth and, you know, move us to a third wave actually of interconnected things.
Right.
You know it's there. I'm you know, it made me think more about it, you know, and made me crave again more for Siri API. But but again, we'll see. You know, what the future brings, but you know, I like to be alert to these, you know, future futuristic ideas, because, you know,
you gotta keep your edge, you know.
Exactly.
you can't be too satisfied with your thinking and ideas and be like, yeah, this is what it's going to be, and you know, and then 10 years down the line you still think that, and the new kids on the block look at you as this old guy
dinosaur
stuck in his old ways, right? Like, you don't want that, right? So yeah. And actually, you mentioned Siri you know, this year, so this is a good segue, because this year, in just a few weeks, I am going for my second time to San Francisco on Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference.
Yep, you are. And you, I mean, as far as I know, you today successfully obtained a US visa.
Well, I have been provisionally granted a US visa. I have not acquired it yet, because the way they do it is you leave them your passport and they literally ship it to you after a few days with the visa, the Uncle Sam sticker in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a few days until I actually have it, but yeah, definitely successful.
Yeah, so I was talking to my father the other day about it, about the, you know, the fact that, you know, we are sending you there to WWDC, to San Francisco, mm-hmm. and he was like, okay.
For the listeners, Michael's father is also Nosby's accountant.
Exactly, he's our CFO, you know, the chief financial officer.
Yeah.
So the thing is that I asked my father about it, and I told him about it. We were talking about you just almost going there, and he was like, "Okay, so it's good that we sent Raju there. So what is he going to do there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's going to. Yeah. So what are you going to do there?"
What are you going to do there? There's a few layers of that, right? So the most kind of obvious visible part of the conference is the conference, the sessions, right? The conference leads with the keynote, which everyone sees.
Yeah.
Then there's the kind of second keynote, the developer's keynote, which talks about like platforms and APIs. Then there's the Apple Design Awards, which we're not going to win, but maybe someday.
Yeah.
Then you have a few more days of essentially sessions on all the topics, all the new stuff, so you can learn that there. And that's nice, but that's not crucial. That's cool because you're in the flow, like this is what you're doing this week, and you can just, you know, sponge up all the new information. But they release it all for free online, so you could just watch that at home, right? So whatever. The second layer is, hey, it's fun. It's kind of a social event. Like you have your 5,000 nerds at the conference, a few thousand more, you know, iOS Mac developer nerds in San Francisco who didn't get the ticket but are still in the city. So you can meet people, get to know people, make contacts in the community, in the industry. But the most interesting thing are the labs. So the thing is, you have 1,000 Apple engineers on site for this week. People from this super secretive company that you cannot otherwise get a hold of. And now what it means is, as you're learning super quickly about those new things and you're quick to try them out, you go to the labs of the relevant thing, the relevant framework, and you find the responsible engineer, and you can ask questions, you can learn. If you have some problems, if you have a bug, then instead of, you know, putting it into the bug reporter and hoping someone will notice it, you can actually show it to someone responsible for it and he'll just fix it, right? If you can show a compelling use case for something or whatever, something that can be fixed or added for this version. But again, if you did it via bug reporter, it would maybe be considered for the version a year from now. But this way, if you're on WWDC, you're a lobbyist in a way. Like, you're there. And you can literally influence what those engineers are working on. So if you have an area of like Apple frameworks or tooling or whatever that's relevant to you, relevant to your company, that's something you have a lot of problems with, something that you wish was made better, whatever, you have an opportunity to meet the responsible engineers and talk with them.
And so, like, because I'm mentioning this because you know, we discussed on the previous shows, like how we are when we have NASB reunion, actually how we are preparing for that. You know, we're, you know, having some checklists, you know, some ideas what we're going to discuss, presentations and things like that. That's why I wanted to ask you, you know, if do you have some, you know, are you going to have some agenda or some ideas you would like to, you know, discuss, or some people you want to get hold of? I mean, do you have, I mean, are you, you know, going to prepare like that? I mean,
totally. I'm not yet prepared for that. I've been just overwhelmed with other preparations, like getting a visa, getting
shelter,
a hotel booked, you know, finding someone to share the hotel room with, because, you know, that has been kind of a problem. And, you know, just being alone in a hotel is not only super expensive in San Francisco, like super expensive, but kind of boring too, right?
Yeah.
So, but one of my friends, he got onto WWDC for third year in a row via student scholarship, but nice. He tried to get like travel assistance from Apple, because they do that. They didn't do that 2 years ago when I got student scholarship, but they've been doing that now. But he didn't get it, so we're gonna share a room. So that's cool. And now that's when that's all done, I can think of, you know, things to do on WWDC, where I want to go. There's a lot of like after parties and pre-parties and like whatever, like all sorts of things happening around WWDC proper in San Francisco during the whole week and before it. So I have to, like, there's so much of it. I have to figure out what I want to do, what are my other kind of also like, you know, just kind of tourism plans, because I know there's stuff I wanted to see 2 years ago but didn't. And like you said, I have to like think, you know, figure out who's also going to WWDC, you know, with my Twitter friends and people I have not met yet but would like to. And yeah, sure, I'm, you know, worth preparing for. I know I regret it not being more prepared 2 years ago, but I had a deep dive headfirst 2 years ago. Like, it was not just my first WWDC, it was my first kind of real conference, like real, you know, bigger conference ever. So I was like totally unprepared for that.
Yeah, I'm mentioning this because, you know, again, I want to just highlight this to our listeners and to ourselves as well, and to repeat things to ourselves that, you know, when you go to a like physical live event, being prepared is actually really, really useful.
Yeah.
Because as you said, you know, 2 years ago, you regretted not being, you know, prepared enough. Like, you know, just like the other week, I mean, just, you know, a week ago, I was on the conference here, local conference here, in my hometown, because I was accidentally actually in my hometown at the same time. So I quickly signed up for the conference. And again, I had it was just so fast, like, you know, I didn't even actually realize how like that I was going to go to this conference. So I just moved my schedule just to be able to attend. And the first thing I did was just go through the, you know, schedule, go through the speaker list, go through the people through Twitter to ask who's coming and who's not coming. And I had a list of people I want to meet, a list of people I want to greet and say high five or whatever. I wanted to meet David Allen in person, and I did. And we had a glass of wine, and I have a Twitter, you know, picture to prove it. but and like I had a list of people I wanted to meet, and I had a really strict, you know, agenda. I knew that, you know, I wanted to meet people first, then I wanted to attend like three actually sessions. And then I wanted just to meet these people. And it actually worked even better, because by accident, I also met some other people in the, you know, and because I didn't know, who I didn't expect to actually meet. Right, but right. I still met the people really I wanted to meet. And I had a fantastic day, a very productive day of just, you know, being around people I normally don't get to see, because, like, you know, it was this event when people are coming to my hometown, actually from all over Poland. Mm-hmm. And not only Poland, as you know, David Allen was there. So really, I could really do that. So really, being prepared and knowing what you want to do is like whenever you have like a conference or this kind of event, it's crucial. It's just so magical, because then, you know, even if you do half of these things done, you're like, whoa, it was a great event. So, and if you just go there and go with the flow, you're gonna just end up with, you know, like totally chaotic event. So because it's so much effort to actually be there, you know. I mean, for me, it wasn't because it was my hometown, but for you, I mean, it's just lots of money for us, lots of money for you, and lots of time for you. So it's really worth, you know, being ready.
The cost, monetary opportunity cost, like it's a big deal for me to come for, you know, over a week to San Francisco for WWDC, and I'll be like, you know, jet lagged and tired for days after I come back, right? It's a significant thing. So I can't imagine doing that every year. But if I'm going to do this year, then yeah, definitely let's get the most out of it. I think a lot of people, and I totally understand that. I think I used to have a similar reaction. Just something about what you say is off-putting, like, you know, like, oh no, this should be spontaneous, like you like there's something about being prepared for something that's kind of largely a social event seems wrong. But like, really, why? I mean, it's not like you're trying to sell something to someone. There's nothing like weird or wrong about it. It's like, if you're coming to a conference, especially, like, it's not your hometown, it's not something you just go to on a whim, but it takes a lot of your time and effort and money and whatever. I mean, be prepared, you know, because otherwise you'll miss out on a lot and then feel like, you know, whatever, wasn't worth it. But do a tiny bit of preparation, sure, leave some room for spontaneity, and it's going to be much more fun, my experience.
Okay, so that's why, for example, for me, the crucial point was like, I got to know that I am going to be in my hometown at the same time of this conference. And so my really good, lots of good friends that I haven't seen for a while are going to be there. And my,
right,
my, you know, longtime friend, David Allen, the originator of GTD, is going to be there. I'm like, yeah, I have to meet David again. And it was great. We exchanged quickly emails. He said he's going to be available. Then, of course, I realized that actually my close friend is accompanying him because he's working for the David Allen Company Poland kind of thing. So, so in the end, also, it was, for example, my highest priority on that day. You know, I wanted to meet with, you know, meet David and just, you know, spend a few minutes with him. That's all I wanted. You know, it was like my priority one, and I succeeded. And we had a glass of wine. We discussed. We talked. We just connected, and it was fantastic. But that's the thing. So and what you just said about spontaneous and not spontaneous, like. 2 weeks before, I was doing my first webinars, actually, for NOSBI, one in Polish and one in English. We will link to them in the show notes because we recorded them. And one of the productivity myths I was mentioning was that if you're prepared, you're not spontaneous. Like people think that, you know, the prepared people are just the boring people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and then I showed, just to prove my point, I was giving a picture. I was showing a picture of me and my wife on the seashore, you know, enjoying a breakfast, out looking at Mediterranean Sea, right, in Italy. And my argument is this: to get there, to this fantastic hotel with this fantastic breakfast, with this fantastic view in fantastic Italy, you have to prepare the flight, the hotel, the rent, car rental, like all the boring stuff. You have to just prepare all these things, and this is really, I mean, this is really boring, and this is really not interesting. And you have to, you know, convince my parents to come over, you know, to take care of our kids so we could go alone, you know, like all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, once it's settled, what we do there, you know, and how we spend our time, it's all spontaneous. But to get there, you have to just be prepared to enjoy the spontaneity. Like, if you have a list of people you want to meet and you want to see on WWDC, you're going to have a blast with them. But if you don't do the list, you're not going to meet them and you're not going to have the blast. So, like, that's the thing. You know, people mix the spontaneity with being prepared as like contradictory ideas. I see them as complementary ideas, you know?
Yeah, that's very well put. You know, if you're not prepared, you will spontaneously end up just spending another day at home watching TV shows, whatever. The stuff you do every day spontaneously.
Exactly.
Like, that's like I totally understand this view because that was my natural reaction for a long time, but that's just so contrary to my experience. Like, if you're prepared, if you prepare yourself to, you know, to go to different places, be at events, whatever, but just do the work to not just go through the path of least resistance, then you'll have plenty of opportunities to be spontaneous and to have a blast and whatever. But if you're not prepared, you'll spontaneously end up doing what you do every single day because that's just how it works.
I mean, this is why again we come back to these ideas. I mean, we were like so much talking about like the morning routines that, you know, like that you wake up consciously, you know, and start the day, you know, consciously, not just spontaneously, you know, lifting up when you decide to, you know, to wake up. So like all these things. And so that, you know, worth noting and worth just putting there out there. Yeah,
totally. And one more thing about WWDC. I think we mentioned it briefly before, but yeah, today I had the visa appointment at the US Embassy in Warsaw.
Yeah.
And that went smoothly. So for those who don't know the story, and a very short version of the story, 2 years ago when I was on WWDC, first time in the US, I had my passport stolen, which was a total pain in the butt. And I had to get a new passport like last minute before this WWDC because I did not prepare as I tend to do. I had a task to make a new passport for over a year in Nosby. But you cannot overappreciate my expertise at procrastination. But anyway, I got my passport, got my new visa, didn't have any problem with it, so that's great. And yeah, since I was there, I also just today met up with two friends who are also going to WWDC over dinner, so that was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, just realized when I was going that yesterday is a meetup with like iOS people in Warsaw, where I've been two times before as a speaker, so I just casually like dropped by and that was fun. So yeah, totally. That's cool.
Nice. So I like you know, to everyone listening, getting the visa to the US is no longer, I think, a big deal. I mean, it was really easy for you, right?
Yeah, much easier than I thought. I thought that'd be problematic because I lost my visa I already had, but it was even smoother than 2 years ago.
All right. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Random thought. Just lately when I was tweeting about my struggles with finding affordable accommodation in San Francisco, someone said, I just laughed so hard, someone said that soon enough it'll be cheaper to go to Mars than to San Francisco, which between Silicon Valley and Elon Musk does not sound so outrageous.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was talking with a friend about it, like, yeah, like, what would it be like if we actually had a colony on Mars? Like, you know, great Elon Musk, but what about the internet?
Right.
Because see, the laws of physics are getting in the way of Elon Musk.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Mars is too damn far away.
You're right. I mean, when you think about it, you're totally right. I mean, and what would you do on the colony of Mars without the internet?
Right, because like, yeah, you can communicate, but the latency would be insane. It would be like, depending on the orbital configuration of Sun, Earth, and Mars, you'd have between a few minutes and like 20 something minutes of round trip latency, which is like, ouch.
Oh.
So that kind of sucks. And I had a thought, well, you know, we talk about how great it is for productivity and stuff that we're not like Slack, you know, at Nosby. We're like all about asynchronous work.
Right.
And you know what? If we're going to have people on Mars, it's gonna have to be asynchronous.
Oh, you're damn right. It's going to be asynchronous.
Nosby is prepared for the third damn wave. The third wave, Mars colonization.
Of the third wave.
Yeah, the 3.3 wave. Yeah.
Exactly. We are ready. You know, you can use Nosby on Mars, you know, guaranteed. I mean, I'm going to just put a sticker on this.
Yeah, you can use Nosby on Mars or we guarantee your money back.
I mean, that's the, you know, and we started today by saying we are not great salespeople. I mean, this is the best sales pitch ever, man.
Yeah, it is. This is good. You know, Elon Musk, we're waiting for you. Are you willing to pick up the challenge?
Take that, Elon.
Take that, Elon.
So we had our space corner then. Our productivity space corner.
Oh, wait. One more thing.
All right.
You, a few days ago, just had a birthday.
Oh, yes, I did.
So, happy birthday. And...
Thank you.
And... Yesterday, as of recording this, on Monday, 23rd, was the anniversary of the podcast.
Oh, right.
It was not the anniversary of the first episode. It was the anniversary since you first pitched me the idea.
Okay. All right.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was in a birthday mood. That's why I did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you think about it.
I was riding on my bicycle. Well, you called me via FaceTime.
Yeah, you're right. I did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. You know, lots of anniversaries now. Anniversary of the podcast, of the thought about the podcast, and anniversary of me, you know, another birthday, which is not such a huge deal anymore at this stage. I just see that my kids are growing. I feel like I'm becoming younger with every single year. So, like, it's good.
Oh, that's nice.
And, and actually, to celebrate the 23rd of May, like so the anniversary of the thought of the podcast, I actually went running after not running for a week. And it's a great experience, especially that after not running for a week, I went running to our very hilly woods. And I did, instead of my usual 10 kilometers, I did 13 kilometers. You know, so like today...
You mean in Gdynia?
Yes. So today, I hardly walk. So, like, to everyone listening, you know, not doing something for a week and then just pushing yourself over the edge just because you can is not a good idea. Take it slow.
All right. We're waiting for you, Elon.
Yeah. Nosby works on Mars. Guaranteed. This is the best pitch ever.
It's perfect.